It's time!
The shot broken up in front, and what a slick backhand try right in front of Chris Mason. And now the quick pass down the middle, breaking in, and the backhand stopped by Chris Mason. And Marlowe with a 2-on-1, a 3-on-1, and what a stop by Mason. Chichu right in front, and what a stop on Ekblom by Mason.
And goal! Number 3, Chris Mason!
Willie D. Mays. We're broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. The Predators take down the Buffalo Sabres 4-2 last night, and in their last 10 games, possible 20 points, the Predators have gotten 19, which you would take any day of the week. Joining us now is Chris Mason. C. Mace, appreciate you for joining us as always. I do want to get into trade deadline, the moves that the Predators already have made, the moves that the Predators can make over the next few hours until the trade deadline at 2 p.m. But first, kind of want to look at the on-ice performance that we've seen over the last few games against Montreal. It just wasn't the same kind of fire. It wasn't the same kind of tenacity, kind of a sloppy performance against Montreal. But Predators come back, beat the Buffalo Sabres last night. This brand of hockey that the Predators have been playing, what have you made of it, and how encouraged does it make you for the Predators to not just make the postseason, but to make things interesting in the postseason?
Yeah, I definitely think they have one of those teams that can make things interesting. You know, you're going to have games like that against Montreal. It's tough sometimes to, you know, completely get up the same way, and you got the trade deadline, you know, hanging over their heads and all this kind of stuff. It's not easy. And as much as everybody says, oh, how can you let the Montreal Canadiens, a team, look at where they are in the standings. It's just, we all know this if you follow any sports. If the team isn't ready to play, you know, 100% and do all the little things they would do against the, you know, the Colorado Avalanche or an opponent of that caliber, you're not going to win, or, you know, you're playing with fire. You might get away with it a couple times, but, you know, that's human nature. But the way that they got back, you know, on the saddle, and they played well against Buffalo, and, you know, able to close it out in the third period again, something, you know, they didn't really have a really strong third period against the Canadiens, but they were able to get a point, which is good. And, you know, I was talking to the guys from Buffalo, and, you know, Rob Ray was saying, he's like, man, you guys play hard. Your team is, they got that grit. He's like, we've got good young talent, but we don't have any grit. You know, we don't have that. And it seems like, you know, you guys, you've got a good balance of everything, and your top guys are scoring. So, you know, when you hear the outside view of what people think of your team, I think that helps too, because, you know, we get so entrenched, you know, you get so kind of tunnel vision on your team, and you have your opinion. It's nice to hear what outside experts think as well. And that was, you know, a compliment to the team and the way that they play. And I think, you know, those intangibles and the things that the Predators really excel in, that physical play, the ability to, you know, possess the puck, to create offense. They might not have the most, you know, high-flying, high-octane, superstar-powered offense, but they get chances. They work hard. Their top guys are scoring again, as Phil did last night. And, you know, they're getting some the back end. The defensemen are getting points. It's just a really good thing. And then Saros, I mean, that's a tough draw. If you're the one seed or the two seed or whatever it is, and you pull the Predators, you're like, we're going to have to earn this one. That's exactly what they want. They want to be that team that they are right now, where really nobody wants to play.
Chris Mason is with us. The Predators made a couple moves yesterday, trading a fifth-round pick to Chicago for Anthony Beauvillier, trading away Yakov Trenin to the Colorado Avalanche in exchange for a third-round pick. What do you make of those moves, C-Mace?
You know, it's tough. It's the old business side of it. If you don't want to – Barry's been in a tough position here, because I'm sure they had plan A, you know, 3 weeks ago before this, this streak. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, there goes plan A. We can't do that anymore. You know, you kind of have to reassess where you are. He's been a man of his word. He said, the players are going to dictate what I do and how I go about doing it. You know, if it had continued to spiral downward after that Dallas game, well, I'm guessing we'd have seen a lot more names, moved already. And today, as well. But they showed him what they wanted to do by the way that they played and responded. So it's difficult. You still don't want to just hold on to everything and not take an opportunity to get some assets with, you know, maybe guys you don't feel that you can sign, or you have an opportunity, you know, you get a phone call and you're like, wow, that's, you know, that's a decent prospect and a third round draft pick for Trenin. We love Yakov Trenin here, but, you know, this is probably the best move for the team. We've got guys who can, you know, hopefully step up and fill his role, you know, and still make a good run at the playoffs here. You know, so it's tough. It's really tough. And it's everybody understands that. And I know from being in this side of it, you know, it stings at first. And the Predators went through that last year and they went on their great run. But life goes on. You know, Trenin's going to a team and he's got a chance to win a Stanley Cup. You know, the guys here, you know, Mark Jankowski, I look at last night, had an opportunity to play a lot more ice time. Look what he does. He's awesome on the penalty kill, power play point. And he probably had one of his best games all season. He stepped up kind of in that role, I think, taking on a little more responsibility. So it's a life in sports, and, you know, life goes on. But at first it kind of stings because, you know, Trenin was well-loved and respected by the fans and teammates, no question about that.
So some interesting stuff here has gone down. Caroline, you just saw it. I'm going to look up some numbers on this guy, but it looks like the Predators have made another move.
The Predators have made yet another move. So glad that we have you on, C-Makes, for many reasons.
Breaking it right now?
A little breaking news. The Preds have reportedly acquired Jason Zucker, most recently with the Arizona Coyotes. 32 years old, forward, 25 points on the season, 9 goals, 16 assists. C-Makes, what do we know about him? What do we make of the move?
Well, what did we give up for him?
That's the question.
It says acquired. So I don't know if that was a waiver move.
No, it would be a trade.
It was
for
a trade.
Sure.
All I'm seeing is acquired.
Yeah, I think that. So
this is a proven entity. This is a guy who, this is an ad, and this is somebody who's, you know, as we mentioned, the Predators have done well with the salary cap issues, and they're able to add some of these pieces that won't, you know, have long-term ramifications. And he plays the game. That's why Arizona brought him in, is to work with their younger players and have that good balance. Similar thing to what the Predators did in the offseason, is you bring in character people and character players to kind of help, you know, show your young prospects and your young players, you know, how to do it right in the NHL, and, you know, to get better and to just build really good habits. And, you know, he's a player that's been, you know, a really good player in this league for a lot of years, and he's going to come in, and he's a guy that can score too. He's scored in his past. He's obviously getting a little bit older, but, you know, I think it's a nice piece. If one of the things that I think the Predators were looking for, you know, the entire season until recently, was a little more scoring, and he's a guy that can provide that. He's a good 200-foot player, which means that he'll play hard on the defensive side of things. And again, another guy that's got a lot of experience, you know, in these stretches of hockey coming up.
So let's give you a little background. Mm-hmm. And I learned this over the years. He spent a lot of time in Minnesota. When you look at his name, it's spelled Zucker. They always had a little different pronunciation. It's more like Zook, like Hook.
Zucker.
Zucker. 32 years old. Last year, 27 goals for the Penguins. This year, as you just mentioned, Caroline, he's not having any kind of great shakes kind of season. 9 goals, 16 assists. But as Mace said, he's had a lot of production over the years. Now, he spent 4 years in Pittsburgh and had a lot of injuries during that. He kind of fell off the grid, in my mind. You know, he missed over half the season for three straight years. So injuries have really derailed him for the middle portion of his year. But back in his days for Minnesota, he was a consistent 45. In fact, had one great year in 2017-18 where he had 64 points, 33 goals, and 31 assists. So he's had some flashes. Mm-hmm. He's on an expiring contract, so I imagine the price wasn't that big to give up. But Mace, I'm kind of in my mind trying to figure out where he fits. Would he give you a little more offense and some of the same grit that Trenin gives you, even though he's not the same kind of body, right? He's not a big, strong guy. He's 5'11", but he's a veteran guy.
Well, I think he's one of those guys that, you know, could fall maybe more into the puck possession type of play. He plays hard. He's not as overly powerful physically as Trenin is. You know, but he can do a lot of good things. And I always look at guys too in their situations. You go from Pittsburgh, all of a sudden you're in Arizona. You know, you take a deal, and as it goes on there, it's a tough place to play. I mean, that gets old playing in that little rink, you know, all the time. I know going there a few times as a visitor, like, okay, it's worn off a little bit. You need a, you know, an NHL building. I can't imagine playing there every single day. So this is going to be something that I think is going to really, you know, rejuvenate him coming to Nashville, awesome city, you know, great organization. You know, you're going on a fun run playing, you know, coming into a team that's got really good chemistry, a good locker room. The city's just buzzing. It's an ideal situation, I think, for someone that's playing in a situation like that and coming here. And he's probably, you know, going to get that second life. And as you mentioned, he's got more offensive upside than Trennan, and he understands the game too. So whatever role he's put in, he's played them all. You know, he's going to be effective, and you know, something that I think could, you know, thrive from Bruno's system, as we've seen from a lot of guys this season, having their career years as older players. So we'll have to see. That's the unknown intangible, is the chemistry and how you fit into the situation.
It's really interesting how much I'm surprised that they're adding as much as they are here, but
they're buyers.
They have become buyers. And Andrew Burnett, I think it's also worth mentioning, was with Minnesota for a long time, kind of behind the scenes, sometimes as an assistant coach, sometimes in the front office. So he would know the person, Jason Zucker, very, very well. So I think that's noteworthy. So he probably was like, yeah, I can see how he would fit in the Bruno system, which is different, right? It's progressive, and it's been really effective. So you don't want to mess with how guys fit into the system you're playing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you look at both guys, you know, they're adding without giving up much. You know, they're not giving up much to make these additions. And I don't mind that. They've got so many draft picks over the next couple of years. And the other thing that you made a great point, Willie, there's history with both of these guys. Trotz had Bevilier with the Islanders. He knows him well. He's not coming here if Trotzy doesn't know his character and what kind of person he is and player. And same thing with Zucker. You know, it's guys you're familiar with. It's not going to be a wild card. Well, I hope this guy, I mean, I see him play. He's a good player. I think he can fit in. These guys, you know, have history with these players. So that's big too when you're coming in, because they, you know, at the deadline, you're always very cognizant of bringing in the right people, and you don't want to, you know, mess up the feeling and the, you know, the swagger and that whole aura around your team. So very calculated on the personnel you bring in.
Considering everything that has happened, C-Mace, in regards to the Predator season thus far, obviously we know what they have done over the course of the last month here. Should Coach Bruno be considered for the Jack Adams Award? I know they're not in first place. I know they're not one of the top two or three teams in the league. But what he has done with the roster that is missing some pieces, a bunch of young guys, but he's got these guys playing at a level that I don't think nobody, you know, nationally thought they were going to play at least not this year.
Yeah, you know, I love that point, D-Mace, because I honestly think that in the NHL, I think that award is such a joke, really, because you look at some of these teams and guys that win it, and I'm not saying the coaches that win it aren't deserving. Mm-hmm. You know, last year, Montgomery, I think, wins it. Boston's got one of the most historic seasons in the NHL, and, you know, things like that. But sometimes it's like I have no coaching experience. D-Mace, you and I could go and we could coach, you know, us four, five could go coach, you know, the Edmonton Oilers, and Connor McDavid's going to have, you know, 1,000 points. And some of these teams, it's the personnel that you have, and give these guys credit, because there is a line of good teams and excellent and all these types of things. But I think when you have a roster that's constructed the way the Predators are, or the way that some of these other teams, because look around the league, and there's a lot of teams with equal experience and inexperience as the Predators that are the bottom feeders of the league right now. You know, so I think what Andrew Burnett has come in and done, and I think the additions that Barry Trotz made in the offseason, I wish they would consider things like that more. I wish they would really do a deeper dive and said, okay, well, it's between, you know, Vancouver, Tocchet will probably win it this year. He's done a great job. It's been a great turnaround. You know, but just pick the four top teams and say, okay, it's one of these guys. Like, that's just not the way that I think that true essence of the best coach in the NHL is. So I think he should get consideration and be one of the guys in the conversation for sure. But unfortunately, I just don't think it will with how they pick that award.
Now, obviously, we have, maybe 2-3 hours left before the trade deadline is up. So obviously, there could be more moves made. But one move I am sort of not concerned about, but that I am interested to see whether it happens or not, is Lankinen. Because you see where the Predators are at and the moves that they're making and how they're playing so well, they're going to need a veteran backup goalie. I know Askarov, he may be the next, great goalie in NHL, but at this particular time, it just seems like they need a veteran guy for the remainder of the season just in case something happens to Jussi. Do you see a move possibly being made for Lankinen?
I mean, I'm willing to bet that Barry Trotz has had a lot of calls on Kevin Lankinen because there's a lot of teams, that need just exactly what you're talking about. They need a veteran guy that they could trust if something happens to their, their 1A or their top guy. The Predators went through that when they had David Riddick and Connor Ingram a few years ago. Obviously, Connor Ingram's, turned that around and turned it into a nice career, but he wasn't quite ready. He had the one really good game, and you just put yourself in a really tough spot with one injury. And I think if the Predators are adding right now, which, they've added a couple pieces, and you want to get into the playoffs and you want to make some noise and you want to maybe try to upset somebody and then have a little fun in the playoffs, then you need that security because, one thing happens. And as you mentioned, Askarov's a great goaltender in the minors. He's played 2 NHL hockey games. And no offense to him, it's a whole different ball game, that a whole different level of pressure and weight. And you don't want to put your young goaltender in a situation where, it could crush him, something like that. I'm not saying it would. I know he's mentally strong and I know he's got elite abilities and he's going to have a great NHL career, but you don't want to put a young player in that position where, hey, you're going to set him back because, he failed, in a certain situation, or if it's in the playoffs and something happens and you got your young goaltender. If that's what happens because of injury and it's just so be it and you have to do it that way, then that's fine. But I think if you can avoid doing that, I think that's the best thing for the player long-term and the team.
C. Mace, appreciate you for stopping by. Safe travels to Columbus, and we'll chat next week.
Thank you, guys. What team are we going to coach next year? We got to get in the Jack Adams Award here.
Let's coach the best team, whatever team
there
is.
There we go. Then we'll be up for it. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, see you guys. Appreciate you. All right, coming up next, we'll get into your thoughts and your reaction. Again, the new news, the Predators have acquired Jason Zucker from the Arizona Coyotes. What they traded, we don't know. I have the reporter on it. He's doing some investigative journalism for us. We'll get reaction on that and our full reaction on that as well. Caroline Billy D. Mace, tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits this Sunday for coverage of the Shriners Children's 500 in Arizona. Coverage will begin at 1:30 p.m. with the race starting at 2:30 p.m. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3classichits.com.